Good morning, everybody. Welcome to First Presbyterian Church here at Fort Gibson. I am Bruce Rux, a proud member of the formerly Cute generation, and I am very happy. My wife of 45 years is with me. Her name is Carol, and we are very, very happy to be here. All of you probably have received the news that Michael, at the General Assembly in the state of Michigan, probably in Livonia, woke up on Thursday morning and wasn't feeling well and went to a walk-in clinic where he was diagnosed with COVID-19. And I talked to him about it, and you could tell by the tone of his voice that he was mad about this. He really wanted to attend in person and be a part of our national church's assembly, which only happens once every year. So he had to be consigned to his room, and he said that the good folks at the local church were bringing him water and food, but he was confined to quarters. And he was wondering as to how he might return to Mississippi. I think I heard over the grapevine that he just rented a car. He's not going to be in an airplane on the way home, just drive home. Carol and I have been in that neck of the woods. She has a cousin in Ontario, Canada, and we visited her and we have driven that distance. It's not impossible. We did it, and Michael will do it too. Of course, the other announcements is all over the news. Roe versus Wade, something that has been part of national law since 1973, and I thought would become national set policy for the rest of my life, was set aside so that individual states might have an opportunity to weigh in, and not just the court, but voters like us can weigh in on this issue. All of us have our own opinion. My opinion is informed by St. Augustine. St. Augustine took an awful long time in describing Old Testament law, specifically the Ten Commandments, and most specifically, thou shalt not kill, and wrote extensively about ways in which it was permitted by God to take human life. And there was just three ways: self-defense, capital punishment, and what he talked about was a just war. There was no room for gender selection in abortion. There was not room in his theology for killing a baby because it's inconvenient to be pregnant. There was no inherent right in American Constitution. And so the jurists, I believe, judged correctly. And then we can make our own decision in the voting booth. Having said that, there are places, and I'm sure that there's places locally, where we're going to have to roll up our sleeves and, as a Christian community, help reluctant mothers who would have chosen to abort their child and now don't have that opportunity, to walk alongside those reluctant mothers and aid and assist them in any way that we possibly can. We have two centers in Monroe, and I'm sure that there's one in Vicksburg, and perhaps even one here in Port Gibson, where we can assist those moms, many of whom don't have gentlemen to take care of them. And we can step up to the plate and we can show them that our faith in Jesus Christ means that We are both law-abiding and faithful. I've said enough. Are there any other announcements that need come before the body? Okie doke. Is it your tradition to stand when we sing the doxology? If it is, let's stand together and we'll sing. Heavenly Father, we come before you and we ask that you bless our assembly this morning. We are few in number, but we are mighty in faith, and we ask that you would amplify within us the faith, the historic faith of Jesus Christ risen. Be with us, stand with us, pray with us, sing with us, help us, we ask, to worship you in spirit and in truth, for it's in Jesus' name that we pray, and we pray together the words that you taught. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen and amen. Our responsive reading, you may be seated. Our responsive reading this morning is found on, is a number 599. The majesty of God. The earth is the Lord's, and the fullness thereof, the world and those who dwell therein. For he has founded it upon the seas and established it upon the rivers. Who shall ascend the hill of the Lord? Who shall stand in his holy place? He who has clean hands and a pure heart, who does not lift up his soul to what is false and does not swear deceitfully, he will receive blessing from the Lord and vindication from the God of his salvation. Such is the generation of those who seek him, who seek the face of the God of Jacob. Lift up your heads, O gates, and be lifted up, O ancient doors, that the King of glory may come in. Who is the King of glory? The Lord strong and mighty, the Lord mighty in battle. Lift up your heads, O gates, and be lifted up, O ancient doors, that the King of glory may come in. Who is the King of glory? The Lord of hosts, he is the King of glory. The Lord reigns, let the earth rejoice, let the many coastlines be glad. His lightnings lighten the world, the earth sees and trembles. The mountains melt like wax before the Lord. Before the Lord, all the earth. The heavens proclaim his righteousness, and all the peoples behold his glory. Let's sing together. Hymn number 11.
Oh, my dear Lord.
The Apostles' Creed is written for us and printed for us at the front of your hymnal. Let's profess our faith. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. The third day he arose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth on the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Seated, everyone. I do not see any children in the congregation this morning except for my wife. Let's just take a moment here and just pray for our families. Heavenly Father, this congregation does have children. This congregation has young parents, and they are challenged every single day in our culture. We ask, Lord, that you would strengthen moms and dads and help children to be obedient and help them to be happy. We pray, Father, for joy in family life here in our congregation and in our community. We pray these things and we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Our hymn of meditation is hymn number 434. If it is your tradition to remain seated during the singing of this hymn, do so. If it isn't, I'll watch you stand. Hymn number 434.
Yeah.
Please be seated, everyone. Heavenly Father, we come before you and we ask that you touch our hearts and strengthen us in your presence. Each and every one of us has entered the sanctuary with our own list of concerns and burdens, things that we worry about, things that we're anxious over. We pray, Father, that you would remove these and touch our hearts and rekindle strength. Each one of us brings our own concerns, family members, concerns about work, the economy, the cost of living, the cost of things to buy at the food store, and the price for gasoline. And for those who are farming, the price that must be paid for both fertilizer and diesel fuel is exorbitant. We bring to you these real life issues and place them now before the foot of your cross. Hear us as we pray and help us to respond faithfully to all of the challenges of life. And help us to know that beyond all difficulties, you stand ready. You are with us. You are always with us. And we, as your people, as your covenant people, as a people called to faith, know full well that each day of our lives is protected, each hour that we live is strengthened, and the people that we care for are guided, even if they are not in church. We pray, Father, and give thanks in your name, for it's in Jesus' name that we pray. Ladies and gentlemen, brothers and sisters in Christ, I have chosen this morning to read to you from the book of Exodus, chapter 15. For those of you who are willing, you can grab a Bible. It's on page 107 and page 91. Exodus chapter 15, verses 1 through 10, and then 26 and 27. Then Moses and the people of Israel sang this song to the Lord, saying, I will sing to the Lord, for he has triumphed gloriously. The horse and his rider has been thrown into the sea. The Lord is my strength and my song, and he has become my salvation. This is my God, and I will praise him, my Father's God, and I will exalt him. The Lord is a man of war. The Lord is his name. Pharaoh's chariots and the host and his host he cast into the sea, and his chosen officers were sunk in the Red Sea. The floods covered them. They went down into the depths like a stone. Your right hand, O Lord, glorious in power, your right hand, O Lord, shatters the enemy. In the greatness of your majesty, you overthrow your adversaries. You send out your fury. It consumes like a stubble. At the blast of your nostrils, the waters pile up. And the floods stood up in a heap. The deeps congealed in the heart of the sea. And the enemy said, I will pursue, I will overtake, I will divide the spoil. My desire shall have its fill of them. I will draw my sword, and my hand shall destroy them. But you blew with your wind, and the sea covered them, and they sank like lead in the mighty waters. And at verse 26, if you will diligently listen to the voice of the Lord your God and do that which is right in his eyes and give ear to his commandments and keep all his statutes, I will put none of the diseases on you that I put on the Egyptians, for I am the Lord your healer. And then they came to Elam, where there were 12 springs of water and 70 palm trees, and they encamped there by the water. And this is the word of the Lord. Let's sing together our hymn of dedication. Correction, I have to preach first, I'm sorry. Let me correct my vision here. It's so good to be with you. The book of Exodus documents the power of God found in Moses, who was called by God to return from the land that he had escaped to bring about an act of God that would result in the freedom of an entire nation of people. Moses would bring from servitude to Egypt to service in God. One was filled with hardship and difficulties, frustrations and pain, and the other service is filled with liberation and fulfillment. I get a big kick out of listening to advertisements concerning Amazon.com and how they have built warehouses throughout all of the United States, which they don't call warehouses, they call fulfillment centers. Ladies and gentlemen, this is a fulfillment center. This is where we are fulfilled in the name of the Lord our God. But Moses was extremely busy. He didn't have time because he first and foremost had to convince his own people that God was about to bring about freedom for them, and also that he himself is more than just the spokesman. He is the prophet, and he is the leader of God's people who will bring about that promised liberation. Not only that, but he was busy talking to the Pharaoh and presenting to him 10 sequential plagues which will come upon the people if somehow the Pharaoh doesn't give in and realize that Almighty God has a plan for the people that are presently his slaves, that he has a plan for their liberation. summarized in four words: let my people go. The tenth and final plague was one that was devastating. It resulted in the death of the firstborn male, not just in the pastures and the beasts of the field, but also the firstborn male of all of the people of Egypt. And when this took place, Pharaoh, believing that he was somehow still in charge, hadn't yet believed that the Lord God was in charge, said to Moses, "You and your people leave. You go." Chapter 14 recalls the parting of the Red Sea. And finally, in chapter 15, it's revealed that Moses has a quiet, peaceful moment when Moses can sit and stop and pray and assess where he is and discover again a moment of peace as the people have finally been set free. I want to look a little bit at the chapter that I read, chapter 15, and the Song of Moses. But first, let's have a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we come before you and we ask that you would anoint us, help us, we ask, to hear this, your word, and may it be a source of power and strength for our lives. We pray these things in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen. Chapter 15 begins this way. Then Moses and the people of Israel sang this song. In that very short verse are many things said. Three things that I'll comment on. First, Moses was found to be at peace, at ease, and he found solace in the presence of God, so that he could write the lyrics to a specific song and also compose the melody that corresponds with the words. Secondly, he had to go to the people and he had to teach them both the words and the song. Scholars have said that this is perhaps the first time in recorded Israeli history that history of the people of God has been actually written down. And then it was set aside and then placed in the book that we have, the book of Exodus, which is the second book of five, which is referred to by biblical scholars as the Pentateuch. And then the last thing that's implied by this verse is that the people, after learning the music and after learning the words, were then able to worship God. It's a strange and wonderful thing. Most Presbyterian churches worship just like you do, but you had to learn to worship this way. If you went to the Episcopal Church, you wouldn't feel as comfortable as you do right now, because they worship a little bit differently. And if you went to a Pentecostal church in a very low church environment, they worship differently there as well. This is our home, and this is where we find covenant relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. This is where we have learned the songs of worship and the cadence of worship and how we are to live out our lives during this sacred hour. You have to kind of, it's like dancing. You have to learn how to dance before you can really dance. And you have to learn how to worship before you really know how to worship. People of God learned how to worship. They worshiped the Lord. I got to ask you something. Have you ever forgotten? I mean, you thought to yourself, I'm going to read some scripture, and I'm going to set aside some time, and I'm going to read scripture. And then you either neglect to do that, or you forget. You have on your calendar every single Sunday. For many of you, you have calendars that have that Sundays are highlighted in red, so you know when Sunday comes, and you know that this is where you are to be. But have you ever neglected to go to worship? This is not a put-down. This is actually the human condition. This is how we as a people live out our lives. It's a commentary on the human race. And the people of God are just a slice of that human race. The people of God called the Christians, says Paul, are engrafted into the covenant people of God, and we are a covenant people, the new covenant. But we forget to read, and we forget to worship, and we neglect to read, and we neglect to worship. Even in Paul, in Moses' own words, take care lest you forget the Lord, from Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 12. We tend to forget. It's a very human trait to forget the goodness of the Lord. And the goodness of the Lord is why Moses writes and teaches us this song, in order for us to remember God's goodness, God's power, God's grace. We are called to worship. And when we read scripture and when we remember the powerful qualities that he represents, we are blessed. If we don't attend worship, or if we forget to read scripture, we tend to forget that we are Israel. And we forget that he stands with us. And if we forget that he stands with us, we are vulnerable to fall and fail because we've, just like those who have never learned to read and those who have never learned to worship. Ladies and gentlemen, I want to ask you another question. Do you think, our numbers are not great, but do you think that I can teach you and help you to memorize a passage of scripture? And do you think that I can do that in 5 minutes' time? Those who are on session are getting their watches out right now. I'm going to give him 5 minutes. That'll just take 5 minutes. But let me just do this. I want you to pretend that I'm not Reverend Bruce M. Rux, that instead I am Rabbi Bruce Ruxbaum. You can see that I have my imaginary omakach on the top of my head. And I am your cantor, and I am about to share with you a piece of sacred word. Goes like this. These things I have spoken unto you, that in me you might have peace. In the world you shall have tribulation, it's your turn, okay? Now, don't be shy. I know you don't know the words, but you're going to learn the words. Ready? These things I have spoken unto you, that in me you might have peace. I'm only hearing myself. In the world you shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer, be of good cheer, for I have overcome the world. Amen. That was almost good. Stand up with me right now. If you stand, I've watched you stand before. Stand up with me. These things I have spoken unto you, that in the choir singing thee I might have peace. In the world you shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer, be of good cheer, for I have overcome the world. Okay, sit down, everybody. And congratulate yourself. If you sang, even if you didn't try, and you tried a little bit, you memorized in church, and it didn't take but just 5 minutes. You memorized John chapter 16, which means that I'm not Rabbi Ruxbaum at all, because he wouldn't be challenging you to learn New Testament, but I am. You can congratulate yourself that in that melody, and in those words, you learn John chapter 16, verse 33, at the very end of what's referred to as the upper room discourse in the Gospel of John. You learn those verses just like the ancient Jews learned the song of Moses that recounted the history of victory. You see, in that song is revealed how the army of the Pharaoh saw that the people of God had exited through an opening in the Red Sea, believing that they are still in charge, believing that they are the ones that are sovereign and not the God of Abraham and Isaac and Jacob. The Pharaoh gathered his troops and his chariot, and he ordered them to follow the Jewish people. When the Jewish people were making their exodus, that ground was solid. That ground was dry, made dry by the hand of God. But as soon as the Pharaoh's army entered into that space, that dry earth made that way by God's hand suddenly became ocean bottom mud. Wheels don't turn in mud. Men don't walk well in mud. And they got stuck. And then the ocean of the Red Sea, the seawater came in on top of them. This is what the scripture says. From verses 4 and 5, Pharaoh's chariots sent his host. God cast into the sea. God cast into the sea. The Pharaoh wasn't in charge at all. God was. And his chosen officers were sunk in the Red Sea, and the floods covered them, and they went down into the depths like a stone. Ladies and gentlemen, I am no prophet. I don't have a crystal ball. Yogi Berra once said, predictions are hard, especially in the future. So I don't have Yogi Berra to help me. All I have is God's Word and the stories of the Bible. I am here to tell you, and I confirm to you, that tyrants like Vladimir Putin will not succeed, that he and his plans to take over a sovereign country will ultimately fail. His armies will be crushed, and he himself may certainly be deposed. I don't know when, but as God is my witness from the Word, tyrants like him and like the Pharaoh will be crushed. Secondly, lawless pagans who desire nothing but free food, free health care, free everything, and storm through our cities, burning our businesses, destroying homes, causing human life itself to come to an end because of their lawlessness, will not prevail. And they will not be victorious. They will not succeed. I don't know when that will happen, but it will. And good people, Christian people, will prosper. Perhaps in the short term, hardship will be ours to endure. And that may separate or help separate the sheep from the goats. But God will prevail, and God will be victorious, and he will use his people like he used Moses. Finally, pro-abortionists will understand the sanctity of human life. And states like Mississippi and Louisiana and Oklahoma and Arkansas and others like Utah and North Dakota will grow in grace, and they will care for little babies, and they will care for mommies, even those who are reluctant to be, all for the glory of God. Because in this world where there is trial and there is tribulation, God's people will find peace, because Christ himself has overcome the world. Christ himself has risen from the dead, and Christ himself will come again, and you and I will never forget that truth. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we give you thanks, and we pray, giving thanks in your name. We ask that the enemies of your truth would be defeated. Perhaps we have come across people who are diametrically opposed to truth, love, grace, eternal life, and the name of the Lord Jesus Christ is blasphemed all across the land. But in us, we know that your word is holy, that your presence means more than just a word that reviles our situation, that you uphold us, strengthen us, walk with us, know who we are as we affirm that we know who you are. We pray, Father, asking your strength as we remember the song of Moses and the destruction of his army. Help us to know that those who are opposed to the gospel will find a worthy adversary. Strengthen us, we pray, as we sing to the Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let's sing to the Lord. Hymn number 37. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you so very much for inviting me to come and to be with you this day. The book of Romans reminds us that we are to live our lives in a way of faith so as to make others jealous for our love. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the light of his countenance shine down upon you and be gracious unto you this day. And every day through Christ Jesus our Lord, we pray. Amen.